The mountains are calling. Let's escape the noise. This is episode 69 of the Just Trek podcast. Welcome to the Just Trek podcast, where elevation is our recreation. This is your host, Justin Just Rock Ramon, coming to you from Los Angeles. On this show, you will hear stories and adventures from inspirational hikers, explorers, weekend warriors, to even creatives in the LA community and beyond. Join the Just Trek crew on our journey to True North. We aim to inspire, motivate, and elevate you to a higher state of well-being. You can follow us on Instagram at just.trek, facebook.com/justtrekofficial, and our website justtrek.net. This episode is brought to you by Happier Camper. Happier Camper is a modern travel trailer manufacturer known for their retro-style campers. They are revolutionizing the travel trailer industry with their modular adaptive system and forward-thinking design. From camping to glamping, overland to off-the-grid, Happier Camper's dedication to innovation means you'll be ready for any adventure. Made to order and handcrafted in Los Angeles, California. Check their trailers out more on happiercamper.com. Additionally, Happier Camper is offering our community a special promo for an exclusive upgrade with any Happier Camper purchase. Use code TADATREK, TADAATREK, on happiercamper.com and receive your choice of either a full shell gel coat of any standard color valued at $1,500 or receive $1,500 of adaptive credit towards a custom made-to-order camper. This episode is brought to you by Cotopaxi. Cotopaxi is an outdoor apparel brand known for their high-quality outdoor essentials. They create sustainable products to fight extreme poverty, inspire adventure, and move people to do good. Their social impact strategy focuses on global poverty alleviation, and they strive to employ responsible sourcing and manufacturing practices throughout their supply chains. So much good going on with this company that I absolutely love, so make sure to check them out more on cotopaxi.com. And if you are local to Los Angeles, definitely give their brand new LA store a visit. It is located in El Segundo at The Point. Just Trek crew, what it do? This is your host, Just Rock. And on this episode, I shared the exclusive recording from our second ever live podcast show that all went down at the podcast 40-year anniversary event here in Los Angeles. The event was held at the Happier Camper Outdoor Showroom and Happier Cafe Space. Major shout out to Happier Camper and Tada Coffee for being our venue partners. We highly recommend checking out their space, the modern camper trailers, and while you're at it, make sure to grab Tada Coffee or tea and take a nature stroll along the historic LA River. Shout outs to our sponsors Cotopaxi, Keen, 52 Hike Challenge, Parch, Juneshine, Easy Rider, and Tony's Chocolonely for supporting this special anniversary event and community celebration. The live podcast show was entitled SoCal Hometown Heroes and featured a powerhouse panel of previous podcast guests that included Carla Amador, Chief Hiking Officer of the 52 Hike Challenge, Chris Hazard, creator of HikingGuide.com, Angelica Avella, lead protagonist and story producer for Outdoor Film Forward, and myself as the moderator. It was a truly special group conversation that made a major impact on all those that attended and will continue to make a lasting impact for years to come. We chatted about each of their impactful work in the community, their most meaningful outdoor adventures and nature experiences, what the community each of them has cultivated has taught them, and the one must-do experience that any outdoor enthusiast should at least do once. After the group discussion, we opened up a live Q&A to the audience so that everyone could join in on the fun and ask the guests their own questions. The overall group panel talk was inspirational, impactful, informative, entertaining, and just the best of times. Another live podcast show in the books that turned out so beautifully, and I can't wait to host more of these in the future. Here's our group conversation, and I hope you enjoy the show. The Just Trek podcast is recorded on Gabrielino Tongva land. The natives and indigenous people are not a thing of the past. They are present among us right here, right now. So let's keep educating ourselves and take the opportunity sometime to interact and learn from them. It's important to fill ourselves with more knowledge so we can become better outdoor stewards in our journey alongside Mother Nature and in the public lands we explore. Before we jump into the conversation, I want to let you know that the Just Trek merch store is officially live right now. If you would like to support my podcast journey and represent Just Trek on your adventures, please make sure to check out justtrek.net/shop. That is JUSTTREK.NET/shop. We currently have new merch available for purchase. I appreciate you all so much, and now let's get back to the show.
All right. Shout out to this amazing, beautiful venue. Let's make some noise for this venue here. Also make some noise for yourselves. I love seeing outdoors enthusiasts. You guys look lovely. So if you can't see, come up to the front. We have some wonderful panels happening. All right, we're going to try this out. Before we start the festivities, I need to audition you guys, okay? Good energy. Let's try this again. All right? When I say Justin, you're not going to come out yet. We got to make sure the crowd is good, okay? 3, 2, 1, we're going to make some noise. And it's got to be really good. Please, 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 please. 3, 2, 1. That's it right there. All right, everyone, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I want to bring out my dear friend, Justin, leader here of Just Trek Activities. 3, 2, 1, make some noise for Justin.
Wow, we are here right now. Look at this lovely crowd. First and foremost, welcome everyone officially to the Just Trek podcast for your anniversary event. It truly means a lot that you're all here. But before I get into my introduction, my little spiel, I do want to bring up the venue partners and the venue owners of the space for allowing us to host this community gathering here. So first up, we're going to have Diego from Happier Camper introduce himself and also share a little bit more about the wondrous stuff they got going on at Happier Camper.
How's it going? Thank you so much for coming out. This is this turnout. It's amazing. Congratulations. Tadad's going to be talking a little bit about their space here too, but we couldn't be more happy than to have you guys all here.
Do you want to share a bit more about what Happier Camper is and the amazing trailers that you have here?
Yeah, I would encourage, when you have some time, we're here Monday through Friday, to come by and get to tour our fiberglass trailers. And we have all of our models here. And you get to see we have one that's made out of a cafe camper. Then we have one for small businesses over here. And this one, which will be the biggest one we have, it's called the Traveler. And it's where the podcast is now. Thank you.
Right on. Thank you, Diego. Give him a round of applause. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right. A longtime friend of mine I've known from the dance community, from music festivals. The man himself, Scotty from Tada Coffee. Choose one, anyone. Close your eyes.
What's up, everyone? When I say Ta, you say?
Ta! I always wanted to do that. Thank you. Like your energy. What am I supposed to say? Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for coming out. Just Trek doing his thing, and what a beautiful community that he brought out. And I really appreciate everyone coming through and seeing the growth throughout the past years. So thank you. I'm a dancer, performer, arts educator. I work with kids Monday to Friday, and on the weekends, you know, perform, create, and love, you know. I built one of the art cars up in the front when you first walked in. It's our piece that we're going to be doing for events, parties, and a whole new vibe that we're trying to bring to coffee. And we did this special event thanks to Henry. He had this barbecue and beats, and we did an event out there. We brought the whole crew with Rhythm Stilters. You saw one of the spacemans out there, and Noel over there hanging out. And we vibed it up, and we got invited by the owners to, take care of the space. And we brought in the art, the love, and we're just here to share some good vibes with you all. So hope you guys enjoy. We're in for a good treat, so thank you.
One more sec. There's a promo code. Do we want to share that?
Do you want?
Yeah, and what is the benefit if people here purchase a trailer with the promo code Tada Trek? Let the people know.
The complimentary will be a full gel coat of your custom color that you want for the whole camper, a $1,500 credit for adaptive components, which gets you to customize your camper the way you want, fully customizable.
Amazing. That is Tada Trek, TadaTrek.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, this is my business partner, Melvin, over here.
Got that sugar.
Hey.
Got that sugar, baby.
You know, when we first started Tada, it was like, why are you starting another coffee brand? There's so many of them. I'm like, but I want to spread Tada moments. And he was down for it. And here we are, 1 year from that moment, you know, creating some love with you guys. So much love.
All right, y'all. I got a little intro for myself because not everybody here knows my story. I'll keep it real quick. But for all of you who are not familiar, I go by the name Justin Just Rock Ramon, host of the Just Trek podcast, founder of the Just Trek crew. I'm originally from Baltimore, Maryland, the East Coast, but I moved out here a very long time ago, 2004. So 2 decades. Oh my God. Definitely consider myself an Angeleno at this point. And I've experienced just LA through so many ways and in so many different spaces. And the last 7 years, I've just been on this life-changing journey of rediscovering Los Angeles, Southern California, and also just all the surrounding areas just through this new lens, this outdoor lens, the great outdoors. It's been very life-changing. I would even go to say that it's the main reason that I've fallen in love with LA all over again. It's really reinvigorated my soul, my creative spirit. It got me through a really rough patch in my life when I was going through deep depression. So I'm very grateful for it. And my journey began back in 2017, April, out in the Santa Monica Mountains, out in Malibu. I did treks such as Coral Canyon, Point Doom, Murphy's Ranch, and accidentally discovered Sandstone Peak for sunset. Sandstone forever, because if you know, you know. And that's where I really had a very life-changing moment up there. And I found a new path in my life. So then 2 years later, after I started my hiking journey, I started up the Just Trek crew, which is an LA-based hiking group where we host monthly community gatherings and group hikes. And that's been a very special journey in and of itself. Because we'll be celebrating our 5-year anniversary of the Just Trek crew in August. So stay tuned on what the events will be for that. And then 1 year later, March 2020, if you remember, or you probably don't want to remember, that was the height of the global pandemic, the great unknown. That was a really dark and tough time, you know, and businesses were being shut down. The streets were empty. It was a war zone in the grocery store to find supplies and toilet paper, a little shitty situation, no pun intended. And then I remember they started closing down our local trails, parks, green spaces, mountains. And I was just like, what is going on? Like, how can you even close the outdoors? And I was just so immensely upset and depressed about it, just like I'm sure all of you were. A lot of us turned to nature and the outdoors for healing, for deep reflection, to improve our physical fitness, to improve our overall mental health. And that was taken away from us. And I remember as I was just trying to process what was happening week by week, I just had this really intense feeling in my mind that, damn, if I can't be in the outdoors, I'm going to talk about it, share my story, share my outdoor transformation, and also amplify the voices of others that I became familiar with in the community and also just my friends through Instagram and who I was becoming familiar with. And my goodness, we're here 4 years later. We've had such a wide spectrum of guests from wildlife photographers. Shout out to Parliament of Owls in the back over there, rocking P22. environmentalists, ultra trail runners, mountaineers, writers, bloggers, the whole nine yards, even DJs who are into outer space and Mother Nature. And I just can't believe that we're here 4 years now and the community that's rallied around the show has been truly special and life-changing. And I can't wait for you all to meet some of the most special guests that we've ever had on the show. And I'm going to bring them up one by one, and I want you all to give them as much love as you can, okay? Also, shout-outs to all the staff and the crew and the volunteers. Like, none of this is possible without y'all. Thank you, Mark. Episode one over here for handling the sound. Jazzwell for helping host up here. And just he's a future DJ up there, too. He's going on right after the podcast show. Nikki Tran and Daniel for providing the mats that you're sitting on. Thank you so much. Remember to take off your shoes if you can. That would be greatly appreciated. But let's get into the panel. So first up, this individual was a SoCal-based trekker and backpacker, but now calls New Mexico home. She is a nature spiritual teacher, world traveler, outdoor entrepreneur, and is the chief hiking officer of the 52 Hike Challenge. We have the one and only Carla Amador. All right, next up. This individual is a SoCal-based trekker, professional hiking guide, trail guide legend, and is the creator of hikingguide.com, a massive resource that has been utilized by millions in the outdoor community. We have the hiking guy himself, Chris Hazard. Last but not least, this individual is also a SoCal-based trekker, backpacker, writer, plus-sized outdoor explorer, diversity and inclusion advocate, community leader, and is the lead protagonist and story producer of the Outdoor Film Forward, which is sponsored by Osprey and Smartwool. She goes by the name Angelica Avea, a.k.a. Adventures with Angelica. Before we get into the panel, I got to shout out to the sponsors real quick. Shout out to Happier Camper again, the 52 Hike Challenge, Cotopaxi, Tada Coffee, Tony's Chocolonely, Parch, Easy Rider, Juneshine, and Keen. When I first found out that it was going to be this panel, like this collective up here, I was like, wow, this is going to be special. Like, this is some literal local trek history being made up here, everyone. So thank you to each one of you for being up here.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to start it off like this. Start with you, Carla. Or actually, to the whole panel, whoever wants to take it first. Could each of you share a bit more about your platforms and the kind of work you do in the outdoor community and any major achievements that you are able to share in regards to your work? Whoever wants to go first.
I guess I'll go first. My platform, I just have, since day one, just been trying to, you know, share my story. And if it can encourage one person, then I've done my job. And I kind of learned that from Carla. I would watch her and just be so inspired. Like, look at this Latina woman in nature. Like, I can do this. And I didn't really see plus size girls or hikers out there. So I just, every day, I want to represent. And I want everyone to know, like, you guys are so capable of so much more than you think. Your body is so strong.
And you have this outdoor film that you've been touring for. You've been all over the country. It's called Forward. Can you share a little bit about more of what that project is and how that's been for you? Because I feel like you're the most prepared for this panel because you've been doing panels for the last 2 months all over the country.
Forward is about me. No.
Let's go.
I didn't really have people to hike with, and I needed the accountability. And I made my flyer, and I'm like, come hiking with me. And all these women showed up, and they were incredible. Like, the stars aligned. They were meant to be. And it just shows, like, my life. You know, I work a lot, and I also love to do host hikes for women of color, slow hikers. And it shows all this, and then we take on the Five Peak Challenge in the San Gabriel Mountains, and it was awesome. And I hope that you guys have gotten a chance to see it. It's really great. Not just because it's about me, but the women are incredible. They just shine in it. I love them.
What are some of the film festivals that it was included in? And where can people watch the film?
I don't want to list all of them, but we got into, I think we're at 7 or 9. I went to the Denver, Colorado Film Festival and Nevada City, and I just went to the Flagstaff one. We actually won an award in Denver, Colorado for most inspiring film. Woo! Oh, yeah. I was like, me? What? I went up there and I was shaking and I hugged everybody. That was a really cool experience. And then what was the second part of the question?
I don't even remember anymore. where can people watch the film?
You can watch it. I believe it's streaming on, I think, Vimeo. You can find it on my Instagram, on Smart Wolves, on Osprey, on Spruce Tone Films, who made, they made the film. I love them. It's free to watch. So I just hope you guys check it out.
Thank you, Angelica.
Hi, everyone. My name's Carla. And so I really like to share the backstory of 52 Hike Challenge because it starts really dark. Like, I was going through the worst time in my life. I was going through a divorce, and I really felt like my life was over, seriously. And I was in a really dark place. And, about a year after I decided that I was going to get this divorce, I met my co-founder. And I had, you know, meditation has played a big role in my life. And so I was meditating on my life and had this kind of vision of what I would want my future to look like. And I'll never forget that I actually had a vision of going to Machu Picchu and feeling happy, whole, and free, which was nothing like what I felt like at the moment, where I literally felt lower than dirt. And met my co-founder and kind of was thinking about, this was in 2014, the beginning of the year, and was like, you know, what do I want to do this year? And for some reason, I just thought to myself, what if I go on a hike a week? Thinking nothing of it, and kind of just joked about it. And my co-founder said, hey, you know, that's like the 52 hike challenge. And we kind of joked about it. And so anyways, 2014 was my project year. And I decided I want to share that I was not a hiker prior to this. I would spend my weekends shopping or doing things that would, you know, spend my time running away from what I call myself, right? And so going on these hikes really allowed me to tune into myself, to really process what I was going through, not run away from it, but process myself, my internal world. And nature really does everything else. Nature is the healer. And so I would go on the trails every week and little by little start with like a 1 mile hike, literally go on a 2 mile hike, 3 mile hike, 4 mile hike. Eventually I start doing a little bit bigger peaks. I think one of the first ones was Sitton Peak. And really realized how negative I had treated myself for so many years and how I talked to myself. And it was so disempowering. And I started to say to myself, my internal self, no more. And with each hike, I was personally getting stronger. I was speaking kinder to myself. And by the end of the 52 hikes, I really had healed. I had allowed myself to cry and to just really truly love on myself. And it was so deeply impactful that I felt I really had to share that with people. And I did, and I got this logo made, and lo and behold, REI came on as a partner and really helped us to elevate and spread the word, along with tons of people that took the challenge. And the rest is history. And I think the biggest thing I want to say about that journey is just, you might think that you're just a small stone, but your story we all have a story. And just being able to share that with people can really truly impact lives. And I've seen it like firsthand. And I'm really truly honored and grateful that rock bottom has gone on to really truly help others and also like change my life deeply and in such a meaningful way that my mission in life is to truly inspire and motivate others to do the same for themselves.
Carla, you're such a powerful force of nature. I appreciate you so much and you sharing your story again. Also, for context, everyone that's been up here has been a previous guest on the show. So that's how we curated the panel. And the guy, Chris Hazard, the hiking guy, care to share a bit more about your work? Because I feel like everybody knows you especially.
Well, thank you for coming on. Thank you for inviting me. I don't have such a deep story as that. I just started years ago. It's actually 10 years that I've had it up in March, the website and the YouTube channel. I just realized that. But anyway, I had friends. I would hike out here, and I had friends who would ask me, how do I hike Mount Baldy? And I would email the directions. And I thought, you know what? Let me just throw this online because people could probably benefit from this. And I just started doing that. It wasn't an idea for a business. It wasn't to be, I don't think there were influencers back then, whatever that is. I think their blogger was a site.
Trailfluencers.
Yeah, trailfluencers. But I just threw them up there. And then I had this aha moment. Might have been a couple months in. And I was doing marketing work, website work as my job. And I had a Google Analytics account. And I just happened to be on the analytics for the Hiking Guy site. And I noticed there were like 10,000, this is like 10 years ago, but 10,000 people looking at the site in 1 month. And I was like, holy shit, this is crazy. This is probably helping people. So I decided to sort of double down on it. I trained to be a professional guide. I guided around here for a while. My plan was to egress from my regular job. And I did that. And then COVID happens. And then I wasn't guiding anymore because California was in a state of emergency. And I decided just to double down on doing it digitally, doing YouTube, doing the website, because I realized I could guide many more people, online than I could in person. And it's just been, similar to what Justin said, I just didn't imagine it would turn into what it turned into. And I love, for the people who said hi, I just love meeting everyone. I love knowing that they're helpful. When I started hiking, you read guidebooks. I don't know, are books a thing anymore? A books of paper. But, it would be like language, like at the Junipers, head northeast. And it's like, well, I don't think like that. Like, where are the bathrooms? Where's the parking lot? Where's the trail start? So I wanted to approach the trail guides in a different way, more down to earth, just simpler. Here's a junction, make a left, make a right. And from what I can tell, it works for a lot of people. So I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for all you guys for using the guides, because otherwise I would not be doing it. So thank you.
Raise your hand if you use the hiking guide, trail guide. Look at this. Probably everybody
thank
here.
You. You.
Yeah, his hiking guides are so comprehensive, so in depth. Like, they're curated in such a way that a pure beginner could tackle that mountain or learn how to train for it. Like, he really breaks it down like almost like scientifically.
Yeah, that was a big part of it that I wanted to didn't mention, was like, I wanted these guides to be available for everyone. I didn't want anyone to feel like, I didn't want anyone to be scared or intimidated to go into the outdoors, because I knew that the outdoors was a great place. And if you just watch local news, you think you're going to be attacked by mountain lions and bears and different things. So, and obviously it's not like that. So a big part of it still, even if I do a more hardcore guide, I just try to keep it very simple and very basic, because experience is relative, right? You don't know. Somebody could say they're experienced and it's different than what your experience is. So, just try to keep it the basics and let people interpret it the way they need to. So,
yeah, one of my all-time favorite trail guides of his is this infamous route called Cactus to Clouds in Palm Springs, one of the hardest day hikes in the country, according to Backpacking Magazine. Right, Chris?
Yeah, that's a tough one. It's a tough one. It's like 10,000 feet of climbing, I think. I think there's 8,000 in the first 7 or 8 miles.
I always remember what you said. It's so special, and we're so blessed to have a desert alpine peak 2 hours away from Los Angeles, where Coachella is.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. I mean, I'm not a West Coast native. I'm originally from the East Coast. And coming out here about 10 years ago now, it just blew my mind living here. I came here for work before that. It was like, you know, car rides through Los Angeles to Hollywood. It was pretty miserable. But going to the mountains here, just, you know, different mountains. We have mountains, Angeles National Forest, San Bernardino, north and south. We have Joshua Trees. There's so much, you know, two or three from the southern Sierras. Like, it just blows my mind, all of the diversity that we have in terms of the landscape. And it's like a playground if you love nature. So it's awesome.
Yeah, LA County, Southern California, we have so much, especially if you know where to go, especially with resources and people such as these three. Also, as we're doing this panel, we're going to open it up for a Q&A with the audience. So as we're hosting this, keep in mind that you'll be able to ask the panel a question or maybe a specific person a particular question. So keep that in mind, everybody. All right, on to the next question. What was one of the most meaningful outdoor adventures or nature experiences that you have ever had? And how did it impact you?
I'll start because it's top of mind. I just took my first group up to Kilimanjaro in Africa.
Woo!
And honestly, it's the highest point I've ever been in my life. It's like 19,000 some odd feet. And literally, you could kind of be brain dead at that point. And thanks to Diamox, I'm not sponsored by them.
Shout out to Diamox, for real, yes.
But seriously, 13 of us summited out of the 14. And everyone attempted the summit. Someone decided to turn around. And I'm really glad she made that decision. We had crazy weather. But it was one of the second most powerful experiences, because, you know, I had been able to see the impact of 52 hikes and helping people from the ages of 24 to 76 achieve a lifetime dream, having this community where we all work together to help each other. Because I was saying to my friend Jenny, all our gear failed at one point or another because the elements were so intense. And it was all about, we're here to help each other. And that's what I love about this outdoors community. I think what I find is it really takes away the ego. And it's like, when we're outside, none of the other stuff matters. Like, it really doesn't. It kind of strips you down to this base level of, we're all humans. Like, we're all just trying to do our best. And we all, again, going back to the stories, everyone has a story. There was a woman that was like 300 pounds, had lost over 100 pounds and said, I never thought I would have done this. And she made the summit and she could not believe how accepted, how loved she felt on the trek. Although she came in with the idea that no one's going to like me. I don't even know if I'm going to make it. And so it just really showed me how deeply beautiful not only the power of nature, but the power of community is.
And for those of you not familiar, Mount Kilimanjaro, please correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's the world's tallest freestanding mountain. Am I correct?
Honestly, I do not know the answer. I know it's Africa's roof, and it's one of the yes. seven summits in the world.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you literally just came from Mount Kilimanjaro, what, like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago?
Well, I just got back on Thursday, but
Kilimanjaro
Kilimanjaro was like 3 or 4 weeks ago. So it's been a while since I summited.
The fact that you're here, like, I'm like in shock, because I was like, she was in Japan like 2 days ago, and she was in South Africa and then East Africa, North Africa. Like, so to have your presence, it's a blessing right now. So thank you for being here. And for the other two, what is that nature-based experience or outdoor excursion that really impacted you?
The one that most impacted me was, I don't know, I always say like all of them, but it would have to be my solo through hike of the John Muir Trail. I did it from the traditional start in the bottom of Yosemite, all by myself. I didn't have any friends join me on resupply, nothing. Like, I was out there alone. And I planned it all by myself, and I finished. Like, I made it to the top of Whitney. I met wonderful people. Like, the trail people are the best. Like, oh my God, I love them. I have so many good stories of people just doing great things for me, and I'm a stranger. And here they are buying me a burger at the bottom of Whitney because I wasn't going to make it to the store in time, or buying me stickers because the store was going to close. And we're strangers. Like, so people on trail, like, you guys are the best. Like, I love you. But I would say that through hike, I just felt like Killy strong, because I had come from that, and I felt like ready to take on anything. I wasn't afraid of the dark. Nothing. I was ready to take it on, and now it's led me that I want to continue two more trails so that I can complete the Triple Tiara. So I love the my solo JMT trek.
Wow. Yeah, to do a through hike like that's a crown jewel of a through hike. And yes, you also summited Mount Kilimanjaro as well. That's incredible.
So I wasn't as lucky. My summit was different the first time. I got sent down. They said I wasn't going to be able to breathe. And then I went down. I was super proud. You know, I made it 17,000 feet. I've never been ashamed of any of my summits. And I think you guys should all know everyone's summit is different. It's not that you didn't summit. Your summit is different. And the mountain will be there waiting for you. I worked at the guiding company, Trek to Killy. Love them. They're the best. And they brought me back. I put a flyer out. 15 women signed up within 12 hours to come do Killy with me. And last summer, in August, I made it to the rooftop of Africa. At almost 300 pounds. So, like, you guys can do anything. Trust me.
Yeah, well, so for me, I have a little different. When I was younger, in my 20s, which was a couple of years ago, I had a job, regular job. I was working. I was on the computer all day, and I was losing my mind. I was reading a book by a guy named Tom Brown, kind of outdoor books, and I found out that he taught an outdoors school. And I don't have an outdoors background. We didn't go to national parks when I was a kid. We didn't do any of that stuff. And I went to this camp. It was, I think, 5 days. It was in the Pine Barrens, New Jersey, and you just go in with a knife and the clothes in your back. And you learn native skills. You learn how to survive. You learn how to make shelters, how to navigate, what's edible, how to make traps, different things like that. And that blew my mind, because I walked out of there after a week and I said, if I lost everything, if I didn't have any money, if I didn't have anything, I lost my job, everyone hates me, whatever it is, I can just walk into the woods and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. It's like, maybe I'll do that anyway. But, That was different, because that changed my perspective on everything. If you don't have to think about what you're doing for money, you know, and a lot of us grow up like that. And if you've been poor, like I have, you know, and you can't pay rent, it's stressful. It's a big deal. But knowing that wasn't a factor anymore led me to try a bunch of other things in life that I always wanted to do. I was a bike messenger in New York. I was a tour guide on the double-decker buses. I did all these like crazy fun things that I just wanted to do before I left the planet, and it was awesome. And ever since then, I've just incorporated nature into everything I do. So since then, I started a company. I've done some other things, worked a lot in front of computers again, but every weekend I'd be out hiking, doing something that was healthy for me in nature. But that class I took was great, so.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you each for sharing your responses. And on to the next question. Each of you has a very impactful platform, whether that's creating trail guides, outdoor gear videos, a global outdoor challenge, or an adventure film that promotes diversity in the outdoors. What have you learned through each of these endeavors and projects? And what are the most special things that the community that each of you cultivate has taught you?
All right, I'll double it up.
Back to back. Let's go, baby.
I'll back to back it. Well, when I first started doing the guides, as I kind of alluded to before, I wrote them, and I, whether it's a trail guide or a gear guide, I write it as if I'm talking to a friend, right? Somebody emails me like, should I get this watch? And I say, well, this is good, this is bad. And that's how I do everything. Even to this day, that's how I create all of the guides that I do. But you know, when you put yourself out there like that, there's a little bit of vulnerability, because you're just being honest, you're being yourself, you're speaking in your own voice. And, you know, the internet's not the friendliest of places, especially in the comment sections. And if I just were to look at the comment sections all the time, I'd probably be profoundly depressed because there's a lot of crazy stuff out there. But what's been incredible is meeting people like you, people out on the trail. That's why I do it. Obviously, you know, it's what I do is not something, if you don't know, it's not something you do to be like Mr. Beast or a millionaire. It's something you do because you love it, right? And knowing that the guides help and knowing that they're meaningful and it's getting people out on the trails has been huge. I mean, that's why I do it. And I as I talked about in the beginning, like I just never imagined that that would be a thing. And when I'm going through a tough time or whatever, and I'm out on the trail, it's just, you know, like that trail magic, somebody will say hello, and it's exactly what I need. So what's changed me the most is you guys, so thank you.
Awesome.
Geez, so much. I've learned so much that I didn't even wanna learn. But it's really forced me. I think, so just kind of a little backstory, I've always wanted to have my own business, and I have had multiple companies before 52 Hikes. Kind of didn't even think 52 Hikes could become a business in the beginning. It was just more like, I want to help people, and I think, you know, this is something really cool people could work on. But it with time, and you're doing something, I mean, you know this, you have to show up whether you're paid or not if you really want to help people. And a lot of times I have to get really uncomfortable and I have to self-motivate myself to get up, to do the work, to answer the million and one emails we get during the new year. You know, we try to respond to everyone if we can. And, you know, with growth like what we had, especially with social media and all of the, you know, all of that, it just really has forced me personally to push through what I would call the uncomfortable. And if you want to do great things in life, you're going to have to face yourself and the procrastination and the excuses and the, I don't know how to do this, but you figure it out anyway. If you want to succeed in life, you show up every single day. And I don't care if you make one tiny little improvement. If you keep doing that over and over again, if you keep asking for help, if you keep knocking on the door of the sponsor that said, no, I'm not going to do this year, you never know where that's going to lead you. And so I know I'm taking it a little bit away from hiking, but I actually want to give you something that's useful in your own life. Keep asking. If you never ask, the answer is no. Make small, tiny improvements, and before you know it, you're going to be up here. So that's it. Show up, keep asking, break down the doors, the barriers. I mean, I'm not even really supposed to be here. I did ask someone in the beginning, how do you make money doing this? And they laughed at me and said, you'll never make money doing what you do in the outdoor space. And I would go as far as to say, I never gave up, and I keep asking and pushing. And because of that, we've been able to do this successfully. I do this full time now. That's it.
Carla, just hearing you, I want to run through a brick wall. Like, you are a mentor to a lot of people. You've helped me out a lot too with like growing Just Trek. I know for Angelica, a massive mentor as well. And I just hear also, so something about Carla, when I was interviewing a lot of these people on the podcast, and I was like, yeah, so how did the journey start? Like what? How did it begin for you, right? Time and time again, they would mention the 52 Hike Challenge as the beginning of their hiking or outdoor transformation. I'm like, who is this woman? Who is this lady that I keep hearing about? You know, I had heard about like the Six Pack of Peaks Challenge, and then I started hearing about the 52 Hikes. So I started following, and I remember this was early on in my podcast recordings. I was like, I want to reach out to her, but I want to wait until I get better at my craft with this podcasting thing. So I remember reaching out to her like when I had that thought like 2 years later, and I was so happy when she agreed to be on the podcast. And that episode between us, wow, it was so powerful and impactful that I had a blank slate in my mind, if you know what, if you ever heard that episode, I think it was episode 58. So thank you for being a mentor to so many people in the community, whether they know you or not. Like, oftentimes I feel like these platforms, they're much more far reaching than we realize.
Thank you so much. And again, just going back to that little ripple, you throw that small stone and you never know what it's going to do. So share your stories, heal, and remember everything we do. And I'm going to cut it here, but everything we do to another, we're doing it to ourselves. And that's why I do this, because as I'm helping you, I'm actually helping myself, whether it's the old version of me, the one that was suffering. Like, it's truly, we don't recognize, we don't even realize that there is a wealth of abundance. We're taught to think in lack mentality. And I'm sorry, that is not what I'm teaching. There is plenty for everyone, and that's it. If you look at life that way, life is going to treat you kindly, and you're going to receive so much more in your life than you ever thought possible.
I don't know what to say after that. I don't even remember. Did everybody answer the question? Did we have one more person?
I don't remember the question. I have chills.
You did it again. We all have a blank slate now in our mind. Wait, did we all answer that question?
I didn't, but I don't remember it. Like, I have chills.
Well, as a quick refresher,
I agree with what you said. Like, ask, because that's what I was doing. I won, through Hike Syndicate, I won a scholarship with them. And, you know, they set me up with all my gear to do my John Merrill Trail trek. And because of that, I had contacts with brands. They liked me. And then one of the Osprey guys was like, oh, you should do a short documentary. Just create a pitch deck. I'm like, what's a pitch deck? Like, what? And so I just was so determined. And I asked, and they loved me. I'm like, what? Really? You're gonna help me? You want to make this? And it just was all falling together. And I couldn't believe it. And had I not asked, I would still just be doing, like, whatever I was doing before. And it just feels like it's been skyrocketing, and I'm so excited, and I just hope that I can help more people and the bigger goals that I have now. And it's because I asked.
So powerful to ask. Oftentimes we feel like we can do it all ourselves, myself included. Like, with this event, I'm so stubborn to ask, but there's people that helped me volunteer with this event, and just the crew and the friends. So thank you all. The question was, Angelica, even though that was a great answer, was the community that you've been cultivating through your film, through your community group hikes, what are some of the most special things that the community that you cultivate has taught you?
Ooh.
Whether it's the women that you guide out in the peaks, whether it's the people that have viewed the film forward.
So with the women, it was so nice. A lot of them last year, it was the first time they were doing all these hikes. So you get to see this hike all over again through their eyes. And there would be tears or happiness. And they're just so proud. Like, I just did this peak. And I'm just like, I'm a part of this. And it's just like full of love on the trail. And then with the film, just last weekend in Flagstaff, one of the event coordinators came up to me. And she told me they showed my film at an at-risk youth center. So a lot of these kids, they are either their early pregnancy and they are suffering with housing. And one of the girls leans over during my film and she's like, I really like this film. I thought this was going to be some white people shit. And when she told me that, like, I felt so much joy and I was proud. Because in the film, we do go over, like, I know I have my struggles with housing. You know, in the film, we lost my mom, my grandmother's house. You know, my mom grew up there. They were the first homeowners, and we lost it in foreclosure. And I was very vulnerable, and I give all that information out. And just knowing that, you know, young people, anyone, were relating to it, and they know that they're not alone. Like, that has been my favorite part so far, like, that we're not alone, and we're connected, and we do go through the same struggles.
Amazing. All right, we're going to wrap it up with this last question, then we'll open it up for the Q&A. Cool? What is one must-do experience that any outdoor enthusiast should at least do once? It could be something local to SoCal, something nationally, or even something internationally. What is that from each one of you? Take a moment if you need to process it.
I'll jump in. That's all right. So I'm a little biased because I just got back from Grand Canyon, but I would say rim to rim. I mean, first of all, let me just say, I was telling somebody, like, you can pretty much go anywhere between Denver and the Pacific Ocean and find a good hike. I mean, it's, the West is incredible. Take a road trip around the West, but the Grand Canyon's just sort of on another level. I was in there for about a week last week, and if you're a hiker here, especially in Southern California, you're used to doing the mountains and you've done the Sierras and stuff, rim to rim is just a whole other thing. I mean, there's rock at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. It's 1.7 billion years old. It just, when you touch it, it just blows your mind. But just the whole experience, the trails are nice. It's, you know, it's doable, and you can logistically, you can fast pack it. It's not too tough. And not too tough might not be the right word, but it's challenging. It's not Cactus to Clouds, but it's a great hike. So if you haven't done that, do that, I'd say.
Epic answer.
So I was going to say, set a personal goal for yourself that kind of scares you a little bit. Like, you don't want to do anything too dangerous, but start with a small peak, for example, because what's going to happen is you're going to train for that. And when you reach that and you're a little bit scared, you're like, oh, I'm not sure if I'm going to make it. And if you make it, you may not make it the first time, but you're training yourself to keep trying. And when you reach it, it gives you such a huge level of confidence. For me, it's like, I want to help you to just start seeing that you are capable of so much more than you ever gave yourself credit for. And that's what really helped me in my life was when I did, for example, Sitton Peak. It's not the longest hike. It's not the most craziest hike, but I think it's like eight, I don't know, is it like 8 miles? Someone here knows.
I think the hiking guy knows.
Oh, God. Go to hikingguy.com. yeah, it's around that.
It's around 8 miles, and honestly, like, I remember probably being 5 miles in and kind of thinking, like, I kind of don't know if I'm going to make it. And then when I made it, it just gave me the sense of, like, wow, what other things am I saying to myself I can't do in my life? And I actually can do if I push myself, if I have a community of people that believe in me. And that's why, for me, hiking, at the end of the day, why hiking was so impactful for me was because it made me realize, like, I was selling myself short. And hiking has allowed me to really tune into my own self-confidence and actually achieving things in my life that I never thought were possible. So set a small little goal. It doesn't have to be a Mount Whitney. It doesn't have to be Mount Kilimanjaro. It could be literally Sandstone Peak.
Yes, please. Sandstone forever, sunset at Sandstone, sunset in the full moon at Sandstone, all that.
Just to jump in real quick. So I've done rim to rim, I don't know, maybe 10 times, almost 10 times now. And so much of hiking, to your point, is mental. So much, and I'm not talking about like pushing through altitude sickness and getting sick, but I've done rim to rim and I've seen people that were prepared and they had all the gear and everything. And the last time I did it last May, I saw somebody, you know, some guy who was crying. He was sitting on the side at 3 Mile Rest House crying because he couldn't get up the trail. And it just shows you, you know, and he was fine. He wasn't hurt or anything, but the mentality, you know, it's all about what you think in your head. And if you're going to get negative thoughts, you're going to be like, I don't know if I want to do this tomorrow. You know, maybe I'll just hang out at the North Rim and take the shuttle back. But, you know, you just have to push through it. Don't indulge the negativity. Don't indulge those thoughts. Just, you know, throw them at the back and keep moving. But it's amazing what that power does. And hiking, especially when you do something challenging, whatever your level, whether it's Sitton Peak, Sandstone Peak, Mount Whitney, you know, it's a great opportunity to practice that mental skill.
I was going to say that the brain really has neural pathways, and what you're doing through what I hope 52 Hike Challenge will do is as you're going on the hikes, you're kind of starting to reprogram yourself. And so that's what you're talking about, is everything at the end of the day is mental. Whether you're on the trail or you're off trail, your mind is who you got to deal with. So you better start training somehow. And for me, I'm like, I'd like to do that with a pretty view. Thank you very much.
Can you like go over the question again?
You are all good.
I process really slow.
No, you're just so engulfed with your responses. I get it. Me too. That's why I have these notes. Got to remind myself. The question was, what is one must-do experience that any outdoor enthusiast should at least do once? This could be something locally, nationally, internationally.
For SoCal, has anyone heard of Wisdom Tree? I love Wisdom Tree. It's so peaceful and beautiful, and the views you get. And if you go really early, you can kind of get there and have the tree and the whole summit area to yourself. And it's just, I don't know. I used to do that when I was struggling a lot, and I would just do that hike all the time. I'd get up early, take my little beat down Honda, and then hike up alone. And I loved it, and I feel like I got so much healing there, and it's just a really pretty sweet spot.
And for those people not familiar, where is the Wisdom Tree so they can, if they haven't been there, explore that?
Hiking guy?
Griffith Park.
Hiking.com.
Please refer to the guy over here.
Hollywood, Lake Hollywood. You can go up that way. I don't know. It's not real fun in the beginning, but once you get up there, it's nice. Yeah.
You could also do it from Griffith Park if you want it to be super long, like 10 miles long.
I've seen Justin Bieber do that hike, too, if you're a stalker or a killer.
Yes, Justin Bieber does that hike because it's in North Hollywood. There's like a celebrity liquor store down the street, too. It's a really random area. Yeah, so that wraps up the core questions for the panel. We're going to transition into the live Q&A. But before we do that real quick, I want to do a quick recognition. I think two of them are here in the house. If you were on the live podcast show last year, please stand up. Well, Robert Martinez over there, Parliament of Owls, was on last year's panel. He is our local wildlife photographer in the Angeles National Forest. You've probably seen his content of Wilford the Bear, Limpy the Lion. He is a legend, a local legend himself. Thank you for being on the show, and thank you for being here today. And there's another woman who's been super inspirational to me, been such a big Just Trek supporter. Daisy Martinez, Elements of Daisy. Ultra trail runner, founder of Wellness on the Trails. She is a force of nature herself, too. Thank you for being on the show last year. And Mary Forgione from the LA Times, her former editor, is not here. She wanted to make it out, but she's busy trekking around the East Coast. And also, if you were on the podcast show, and if you're not already standing up, please stand up so I can give you a quick recognition. We got Mark Nieto over here. This guy is episode one, y'all. Because without Mark in the beginning hikes in Malibu, I don't think there's a Just Trek. So thank you, Mark. Who else we got? Awesome. We got Cisco Hiker Fighter behind the Sherpa, one of the baddest mountaineers and peak baggers in the SoCal outdoor community. You guys got to help me out. Can y'all stand up? We got Jeremy Boggs over there, Traverse Outdoors, and also co-partner of the Fool's Traverse Challenge. Shout out to Jeremy. Enter the Fool's Traverse, the beautiful sufferfest that it is. Thank you, brother. Great to see you here. Who else we got? There's a lot of people. Yeah, Jonathan, where are you? Okay, well, gonna acknowledge Beck. Bex. Oh, yeah, you're injured. I'm sorry. Bex Hikes, Becca Dugan, incredible peak bagger, mountaineer, ultra trail runner now too, right? Yeah. And we got Juan the Don in the purple hat in the back, founder of Outdoor Adventure Plus. Big Cavs crew. When I first met him, he looked like an NFL defensive lineman. And I think, is it my latest guest? Tomasa, are you my latest guest on the podcast? I am Oneness. She's always wearing Cotopaxi gear. She always has Misa, the golden retriever, with her. And she's always probably the most recognizable person on the trail because of all of her colors. There's a lot of other people here. Can you guys help me? Who else was on the pod? Stand up or don't be recognized. Okay, we're going to keep it moving anyways. So if anyone has a question they want to ask to the panelists or to... Oh, Pete, behind you. Hey, Elements guys. Of Daisy.
Hey, guys. So I just wanted to say a few things and then a question. But
Carla, the episode with Carla, if you guys haven't heard it, you guys have to hear it. And there's a point where she does like a quick meditation, and even Justin confessed, like, I was, how he was expressing what he felt, I was feeling it. I was like bawling. It was just so powerful. If you guys haven't checked out that episode, it's later on in the episode, but just listen to the whole thing. So I just really want to shut that out because it was so powerful. Like, I felt that. I felt that. I really felt it. And then the Cactus to Clouds Hiking Guy blog. If you ever do Cactus to Clouds or want to do Cactus to Clouds, your blog is the number one blog for Cactus to Clouds. It's like the best. And I did it solo the second time. And I have so many screenshots of your blog, by the way. But I screenshot everything. And I just love the details, but in the simplicity of how you write your stuff. So I just want to acknowledge of, like, because of you, I made it safely out and back. So my question is, you guys are all backpackers, and you guys have backpacked at different levels. My question is, what's something you wish you knew when you started backpacking, and a mistake that you feel that it's so easy to miss, but for beginner backpackers? I don't really backpack. I'm a trail runner, but I want to get into the backpacking. So I want some advice, please. All right.
I can start. I'd say you probably don't need most of the stuff that people carry. Or if you watch YouTube, they're going to tell you you need to have chairs and showers and soap and radios and cookout, you know, ranges and stuff. You really don't need much. Just a sleeping pad, bag, tent. And that's about it. It's much more fun if you just go simple and don't carry all that weight around, especially if you're going from like running or hiking to backpacking. There's nothing more miserable than carrying like a really heavy pack. So
I would definitely agree with that. And I also did the John Muir trail, and I was the person that got off and literally shipped home a box full of things that I'm like, why did I think bringing my large camera would be a good idea? Seriously. So agreed. Keep it simple, but seriously, also, you don't have to be a through hiker. I realized I'm not a through hiker. I did not enjoy hiking the John Muir Trail, and I'm okay with that. I wish I would have allowed myself to kind of go home early and then finish it in sections. And I think that I held myself to such a level of you have to finish that I didn't enjoy the end of the trek. I was miserable. I just wanted to go home. And give yourself grace. Like you said earlier, the summit is always going to be there. You can section hike it, but keep it simple. Keep your gear as light as possible. I think it's good to start off by borrowing gear because you may not like backpacking. And so you don't want to spend a ton of money and then realize, like, this isn't for me. But if you do enjoy it, then ultra lightweight, people, and it's expensive. But I'm at the phase now where I'm like, I need to start thinking about ultra lightweight, and it is expensive, but I wish I would have just paid the money. And then now I have to double up on gear, right? Because I bought the gear, and then now I'm like, oh yeah. So borrow, ask your friends, hey, does anyone know how to backpack? And look at the guides.
I would add, you can rent backpacking stuff at REI too. So when I have friends come to town, we just go to REI and get all that stuff so I don't have to carry it on the plane. So that's a good move. Good tip.
I was going to say the exact same thing. Your pack weight, oh my God. Buy the little cheap Amazon scale and like start practicing, like see how much your base weight is and then your weight with water. See what you can like toss out. And then if you're backpacking at elevation, in the beginning, at least for me, it took me like a week and a half before I got hiker hunger. I wasn't eating anything. I was just carrying so many pounds of food. And I'm like, why did I pack so much? So like really, and then start off slow. Start off with like overnight trips so you can get a approximation. Yeah, approximation of like, what are you actually eating on trail for this many days? So you know what to pack. Because overpacking is the worst. Like you'll just be miserable and it won't be fun. So pack light, toss out everything.
And bring fun snacks. Because when you're feeling miserable and you want to give up, you're just like, oh, that gummy bear just tasted so good.
Dried mangoes for me. Thank you, Daisy, for your question. All right. Who wants to ask the next one?
Hi. It's for all three of you. I'm just curious at what point, because it sounds like the three of you, no one came from outdoor backgrounds. So at what point in your hiking journey did you start to feel like a hiker, I guess, is my question.
I'll go. I didn't start until like the end of 2016 after a bad breakup. And oh my gosh, the hiking and nature just healed the crap out of me. Like, I loved it. I'm like, God, I love this. I love myself. But I don't think that I ever had that problem. Like, am I a hiker? I think you're all a hiker. It doesn't matter if you're through hiking, you're backpacking, you're doing crazy hikes or little 3-mile hikes. You're a hiker. Like, everyone, we're all hikers. We all belong out there. There's no, you know, set. I can't think of the word, but you're a hiker. It doesn't matter how many miles, how much elevation gain, you're a hiker. So don't let anyone make you feel less than. You belong there.
That's really funny because we have a question on our website that what is considered a hike? For us, we say 1 mile minimum. If you're getting out there, it doesn't matter if it's around your block, you're starting to get out there, you're learning how to train for what we consider a hike. Well, in the dictionary, probably something that you're walking outdoors, right? And so I think there's this pressure because that's a very common question, actually, like, I don't feel like I'm a hiker. I don't have these beautiful mountains. A lot of people are comparing themselves also to others. And I see this because I run this crazy huge community and I get a lot of people that say, like, I don't feel like I'm a hiker because, you know, again, they don't have mountains. And I'm like, no, it doesn't matter. It's just getting outside and enjoying nature. I think that to me is the definition of, you know, I'm getting out there and I'm putting in the effort. So I would say, I know it's cheesy and people are like, don't say that, but hike your own hike, so to speak, you know, and don't compare yourself to anyone else, because to me, hiking is a journey and it doesn't start or end. It just is. And as you get out there more, little by little, before you know it, you are going to be going on a 5-mile hike. You are going to be going into the wilderness. Maybe one day you're going to do the PCT and then you're going to be like, oh yeah, I've become a hiker, but you would have never like become that had you not started. So just get out there, enjoy it. If you're not enjoying it, go home, reset yourself, check in with yourself. The trails are always going to be there.
Awesome. Awesome responses. Thank you for the question.
Yeah. I would just add too, like, don't put that label. If you go outside and you walk, like, it's great. Justin and I were just talking before we were up here. Like, the one great thing about COVID is so many more people got outside and got turned on to the outdoors. Because before that, you know, there was definitely like an element of grumpy old man, you know, telling me I have the wrong shoes on or something like that. That's been around there. But now it's just like all kinds of people out there. And that's what's awesome, because it's for all of us. So forget about the labels. It's just all BS.
Amazing. We'll take 2 more questions, then we'll wrap it up, transition to the raffle, and then here's some music. All right. 2 more questions if there happens to be other people. Wow, what a crowd. Thank you all for being here. This is special.
Yes. All right. My question's like nutritional related. What are some of your favorites to bring backpacking that aren't so commonly thought of, like besides ramen and granola and bars? What are your, like, I don't know, marshmallows, like something maybe not so common that you think of that's like your must-have favorite that you would recommend for people?
I will say dehydrated potatoes. So you can make mashed potatoes and salmon packets. I felt like I was having a gourmet meal on the trail, like, seriously. And you can get creative with it, right? Like, I know a lot of people now, I've actually, after going on Kilimanjaro trek, I'm meeting a lot of vegetarians and vegans, and you can get really creative with the mashed potatoes and, you know, dehydrated potatoes without cream in them, and then do your tofu or whatever, veggies. So I think that's really, you know, ideal. And then go online, right? Like, there's so many other potential resources. And I've done quinoa as well. And then quinoa and spiced it up with like little dehydrated veggies.
Yeah, for hiking, I like just taking salted nuts. Anything that's like nutritionally dense, a lot of calories, small, lightweight. So, you know, like Pro Bar, some of the bars are good that are healthier. But just nuts, there's salt in there. There's, you know, you slow burn that fat, and it's that works well, and it's simple. You can get them in gas stations, and you know,
can never go wrong with the nuts.
No.
I like Cheez-Its, but I remember for San Bernardino Peak, I was like so ready. I went to McDonald's and got McRibs, and I got to the summit. I had my McRib and a beer. That's not the greatest.
Yeah, bring a beer to the summit. I'd do that too.
That's quite the combo. That's great.
I'm not like telling you guys to drink on trail, but for me, my feet hurt. So I'll have like two beers and they're like, you're already done. I'm like, yeah, drink fast. Sorry. But then my feet don't hurt and I can hike right down.
Nothing like that summit beer, summit cheers. Not that we're endorsing it. But yeah.
Pacifico on Pacifico.
All right. We're going to wrap it up with the last question from the audience. Who we got? Who we got? Don't be shy. Oh, we got Ryan Yamashita, outdoor director of the Leola Marymount Outdoor Program. We did a collaboration recently where we led students to Sandstone Peak.
Sandstone forever.
What was the name of the of it? Sandstone Stars and?
It was Sunset Stars and Sandstone Peak.
That was special because that's my alma mater, Leola Marymount University. You.
Go Lions. As Justin kind of alluded to, we just recently launched our new outdoor and adventure rec program for these college students. And I'm curious, what do you see as being some of the biggest barriers to the outdoor spaces? We know gear, expenses, transportation, just finding community, knowing where to get started, trail guides. What are one to two things that you would want to see removed or you see as being the biggest hurdles to the outdoor spaces?
Great question.
Yeah, I mean, off the top of my head, transportation is a huge one. You can't get to really any trails outside of metropolitan Los Angeles. And it's the same even if you go somewhere like Yosemite. There's shuttle buses. That service is really bad. You know, we live in a country where transportation isn't really, public transportation isn't valued. You know, everyone wants you to buy cars and new cars and more cars. But if we could have some kind of, better system for transportation, subsidized or whatever it might be, that would be a game changer, I think. Even just shuttles like from an airport, right? An airport to Yosemite, things like that. Just simple things that aren't there now that you have. If you go to Switzerland, you can, two or three different ways to get to a trailhead. You can train, bus, there's all kinds of ways. But here it's just like a transportation desert.
This is a really hard one because I know a lot about it. And so not only is it people feeling like they're not inclusive, they don't feel safe outside, and that really sucks to hear. You know, when someone says, like, I don't feel safe going outside, or I had this situation with someone, or, hey, someone made me feel uncomfortable because of my weight or my color or, you know, whatever, my gender. And so for us at 52, what we've tried to bring out to the community is we're all inclusive, you know, like, we do not care what color, what size, what age, what gender. Like, we just want this to be an inclusive community. So I think that one is the first one. And secondly, I think obviously financial is such a burden for people. Like, that is what probably breaks my heart the most. And I think that having like gear rental for free, whether we come together as a community and we have a library, a gear library where people can go borrow trekking poles or backpacks or hiking shoes, because it can be cost prohibitive for someone to go on a backpacking trip. I remember one time I was at an REI and I was like looking at someone buying all the gear. And I was like, in my head, I was like, I bet you that bill is going to be like $1,000. And I saw the register, it was about 800. And I was like, some people, I was that person. I grew up in LA. We didn't have a lot of money. I was a young teenage mom. I remember our first trip camping to Grand Canyon. And we went to Walmart and we bought like the $50 bag and we were freezing at night, like literally freezing because it was like 30 degrees and our sleeping bags were 50. So I can personally attest, like, there has to be a better way for people to have access to some sort of gear sharing, or like I said, that's what I said to everyone, ask your friends, put it out on social media, you know, just say, hey guys, I want to go on a backpacking trip. Can someone loan me the gear? Because I can personally say, if you were living in New Mexico, but when I lived here, I would loan people my stuff all the time. So I really wish, you know, and again, this is where it starts right now. Like, five people could say, I feel the same way, let's do it. And everyone could sign up here and say, I got gear, I'm going to loan it out. You know what I mean? So it starts grassroots. I think that's how most of us have started, is just grassroots. That's how we truly make change.
I would say too, for hiking, like, you know, if people ask you to go on a hike, don't just, you know, have them wear fitness clothes, sneakers. Like, you don't have to get all that stuff. But everything we see online, YouTube, Instagram, it's all based around commerce, you know. Everything gets pushed up based on talking, you know, talking about gear. If you look at YouTube, the highest rate is videos, which I know because I'm doing that now. But it's just all gear. If I do a trail guide, it'll get a tiny fraction of what like a gear guide will. And that's because YouTube wants people to buy gear, you know, because they can sell advertising and all of that. So don't buy into all of that. Just, you know, be safe, and you can wear fitness clothes. You don't need all the stuff to go hiking. If anything, they should have like a rental for PLBs or satellite communicators.
I was going to say, yeah, don't forget that you can also rent gear. Like REI does rent gear for snowshoeing and backpacking and camping and all of that. So that's another way, if you're not going to, you know, if you don't have a way to purchase it, try it out, because you never know if you're going to like it or not.
So I might piss off some people, but mine, there really needs to be a conversation about what some people like to call gatekeeping. I think that you need to be considerate, like, this land is not ours. So you guys don't own this land. And if you find something, someone somewhere else showed it to you, and maybe you did do the research, but you don't have to be so like discriminative, like so hard on other people that are just trying to learn and start out. Make the outdoors more inclusive. If you found a cool spot, that's beautiful, wonderful. I'm happy for you. But don't keep the social media posts, like, stop being so negative about it and like that you're not gonna share. Just post your thing and keep it moving. But try to be more inclusive, because we were all newbies one time. So that's mine. Sorry.
Can I add
a hot
one?
Topic? Yes.
Can
yes,
I
go
add
ahead, please.
One last? I think it's really important. If you're going to use the outdoors, please respect and leave no trace. Do not play your music out loud. People are out there trying to enjoy nature. Do not leave your trash. That includes peels. I know I'm like getting activist mode, but no, but seriously, if we all left our trash, then everyone is getting that example. So leave it better than you found it. Be a steward of the lands. Go volunteer. Because if it wasn't for the volunteers creating those trails, we wouldn't have those beautiful pathways. Learn what you can. Give back. Because it's the trails that give to us. So if we don't take care of Mother Earth, the trails, it's not going to be here for, seriously, future generations.
And on top of that, do want to acknowledge that we are on native land, Gabrielina Tongva land. Also, the Chumash is a big part. These are the tribes of Southern California, Fernandinho, Tataviem. I think oftentimes we forget it. I meant to say this in the beginning, but so much is going through my mind. I forgot to do the land acknowledgement, but it's really important to know. Natives are not the thing of the past either. They're present right here, right now. So I think it's really important. And I started including this in my podcast episodes to educate yourself. They're here around us right now. Learn from them. There's so many nonprofits, so many orgs. And they're willing to share. They're like the true storytellers of the land, if you think about it, at the end of the day. The tribal elders. Thank you. Wow, we got deep at the end. I love it. Wow. Carla, Chris, Angelica, thank you so much for being a part of the second ever live podcast show. This will go on YouTube maybe in a week or two, depending on the workflow. It will also be on the streaming platforms as well. Let's conclude it like this. For each one of you, can you each share where we can follow you on Instagram or the social media? And if you have any websites you would like to plug, you can do that right now.
I have no website.
You got the Forward Film website, girl.
You can follow me on Instagram, Adventures with Angelica. That's with a J. I just like to post my adventures. I do like a monthly hike, open to people, to everyone, not just slow hikers. If you're patient and you're willing to wait for us slow bitches in the back. Come join us. We have a good time. We share snacks. And I aspire to inspire.
Nice. You can, my website's hikingguy.com. And I wanted to throw this out there. It sort of ties into what you guys were saying. I'm sort of focusing on video now. I'm doing more video because that's how people get into everything. And I'm tired of seeing my face. I want more people in the videos. I want to do skills videos. I want to do hikes. I want to do gear videos. And I want to have you guys in it. I want to show people watching YouTube that this is for everybody, not just this guy. So I have a form up. It's if you go to hikingguy.com/doit, D-O-I-T, like do it. There's a form there. Just put your info in if you want to be in a video, participate. And I might not get back to you immediately, but I will take a look at them and see what we can do. Maybe we can all get out there and you know, I can get you guys worked into the video. So, and thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you.
So it really does help us if you guys learn about 52 Hike Challenge and visit us on our website. It's just 52hikechallenge.com. Maybe share it with a family or friend. That's how we've grown. It's really just been grassroots through people saying, hey, I did this thing. It really helped me. I think it would be something that you could benefit from. And also, of course, on social media, 52 Hike Challenge. And if you want to personally follow me as well, at Love Carla Amador, I try to keep it motivational as much as possible on my personal page. Just because, again, like I was saying, you know, I was once, that's why it's important for me to mentor, because I've been the person who was a teenage mom, didn't have much. And as I've been going through my journey, it's important for me to get pay it forward. And that's really it. So thank you so much, Justin, for having me. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to share.
What a special panel. And as for Just Trek, Instagram, just.trek. We got a website, justtrek.net. If you want to listen to the podcast, literally just type in Just Trek Podcast and Spotify, Apple Podcast. Yeah, remember to tag us throughout the day. Tag them, tag the sponsors. And that concludes the second ever live podcast show. Give the panel a round of applause. That was one for the books. Thank you, thank you. So right now we're going to transition. I don't think I mentioned this, but I launched the podcast on my actual birthday. So they're forever intertwined, so it's extra special to share with all of you.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
All right, so I know we got to keep it moving, so we're going to transition to the raffle real quick. We're going to get the music going by Jazzwell and Pete. And then, hey, Francis, could we get a quick photo with the panelists? And then I know a lot of you probably want to meet some of the panelists and take photos. But thank you all for listening. I appreciate you all so much.
Just Trek crew, Just Trek fam. What a powerhouse of a panel. What a show. What a turnout. And what a celebration. I'm still in awe of how the entire anniversary event all turned out, and I'm just really starting to love the number 4. Last year, the 4-year anniversary of the Just Trek crew was so amazing, and now the 4-year anniversary of the Just Trek podcast was probably one of the best community events we have ever hosted. And that says a lot, because we've done a lot of incredible events for the past several years. And it was just so much work behind the scenes to pull this off. And I remember running around the venue nonstop, looking like a chicken with its head cut off. Sorry for the graphic visual, but it'd be like that sometimes on event day. Just organized chaos. But when you believe in something so much and you see the impact it makes on other people's lives, you just keep on trekking, you rally whatever energy you have left in your reserves, and you give it your all. The SoCal Outdoor community really showed out for this one, as there was over 100 plus community members in attendance, and I remember the entire venue was filled front to back. Also, got to shout out everyone that stayed until the very end, as we had a full-blown dance party and dance circle to cap off another anniversary. No better way to end it, and it's so fitting because before I was a hiker and in the outdoor community, I was a hardcore breakdancer and came from the dance world, the dance community. I really feel the art of movement will always be in my DNA. From the bottom of my heart, thank you, thank you, thank you. If you were at the event, your support is so truly appreciated. And if you weren't able to make it out, thank you so much for listening to this recording and experiencing the trail magic of that group conversation. I will do my best to continue my work as a BIPOC voice and outdoor podcaster in the community. Thank you to all the previous podcast guests that have ever been on the show. Thank you to the community of listeners that tune in to hear stories of inspiration, exploration. Thank you to the crew, the staff, the volunteers for helping me not go too crazy during the event and holding me down and just being all hands on deck. If you enjoyed this episode and found value in it, support and subscribe to us on patreon.com/justtrek. You can find the link in our bio. The support really does help a lot to keep the show running for you and the community. Also, while you're at it, take a screenshot on whatever streaming platform you're currently listening on and tag us on Instagram at @justperiodtrek. I would love to see who is tuning in, and it also helps with spreading awareness about the episode so that others in the community can tune in as well. In other words, keep on spreading the love. Also, if you happen to be listening on the Spotify app, I highly encourage you to answer the question and poll on there that is located at the bottom of the episode page. And with that all being said, let's get into our official outro. Thank you, gracias and salamat, for tuning in to the entire episode. If you like the show, make sure to subscribe and leave a review and a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts /iTunes. Follow us on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts. We are streaming on all the major platforms. If you want to send me a message, email justtrekofficial@gmail.com or slide in my DMs on Instagram @just.trek or on my personal @justrock, JUSTROC. If you would like to support my creative endeavors, check out the merch store on justtrek.net/shop. For more outdoor inspiration, make sure to check out our website. We have blogs, vlogs, and trip reports. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Have a wonderful day, and please remember to just keep on trekking.